Pač. Ja, RS intervju.
Tokrat v RS intervjuju gostimo ameriško skladateljico, kantautorico in resnično širokopedezno vokalistko Hayley Farr, ki je nedvomno najbolj znana pod psevdonimom Circuit des Yeux. Lani je pri založbi Matador izdala ploščo Io, ki je zagotovo njeno vsebinsko najbolj ambiciozno delo v trpki duplini sodobnega svetobolja, osnovan, orkestrsko upadljivo polnomočen album, ki kratko malo kipi od nepopisne, čustveno prostrane avtartičnosti. Circuit des Yeux bo nocoj ob 20. uri v sklopu koncertnega cikla Sogodbe nastopila v Linhartovi dvorani Cankarjevega doma, tokrat izjemoma ob spremljavi slovenskega godalnega seksteta. Sledi posnetek telefonskega pogovora, zatem pa bo zadonila še skladba Walking Toward Winter z omenjenega albuma Io.
So yeah, we talked about your personal, I guess, you know, turning sort of inside towards yourself when creating music, which is, of course, not only in when it comes to your music. A lot of musicians, I think, especially nowadays, are sort of turning on the inside for inspiration. But it always, when I think about it, it always begs the question, is this sort of a product or a symptom of this, I don't know, I guess you could say a feeling of, you know, the lack of power, or how would you say, you know, this, we live in a certain economic system which is so dominant nowadays, you know, culturally, ideologically, I guess, that it's very hard to think about alternatives, and it leaves you in this powerless state, you know, of wanting to do something, but, you know, not really having the power or the means to. So would you say, you know, this turning inwards is a byproduct of that?
Wow, I mean, yeah, I think to find power in these times, you have to like find it inside of yourself. There aren't very many things in our society, especially in America, that make you feel powerful, like you said. And it seems healthy to me, though. I think there's a lot of invisible, just because something is invisible doesn't mean it's an imaginary entity. And these feelings that a lot of people I know are having, and these themes that a lot of artists are writing about, I think them back like centuries, like way before capitalism. And I think it's healthy, and I think artists are kind of leading the way toward like mental health and like finding stability outside of the system that makes everyone feel so fragile right now.
Yeah, and even the, I mean, mental health, I think it's often overlooked in the music industry, because it's especially nowadays, I guess, it can be, I mean, you can tell from your own experience, but I can imagine it can be a very, you know, overwhelming pressure, because, you know, from the labels, from the listeners, nowadays you're sort of, as an artist, you're sort of expected to release music maybe even every year. And it's, you know, if we talk about your music, because it's, you know, it's conceptually very ambitious, it takes time to create such, you know, ambitious projects. Like, do you feel the pressure of, you know, I guess, working in the music industry nowadays, and maybe with even the coronavirus when it hit, you know, it's another sort of this question that remains unanswered, it's unpredictable. There's not enough talk about mental health in the music industry, or, you know, even artists?
Yeah, I absolutely think that, and not only just in the industry, I think just in the world at large, like we're kind of at this point, it reminds me of like the 50s and like the sexual revolution when people finally started talking about how they like to have sex. It's something like that. It's like foreboding and forbidden. And I think once we start talking about it more, a lot of people in the world will benefit from it and realize it's not a stigma. And a lot of these feelings people are having right now are natural. As a musician, I definitely feel squeezed, mostly for like my attention and time. But you know, that's part of the job, and it's tough because as an artist, I'm more sensitive than most people I know in my life, and that awards me a gift of insight. But yeah, being on the road and just trying to make it work. A lot of people around me are kind of compromising their like morality, and like they don't see artists as people. We are just like output, and I'm trying to figure out a way to create an infrastructure for people that are creatives in my life where we can kind of just continue on and take the pressure off and just try to keep adding like positivity into this like tunnel of whatever being a human is, you know?
Yeah, I think this is very important, I think, because like you said, I guess the feeling is like you're put on this pedestal and, you know, you're just expected of you to, you know, release music for people to consume, for people to enjoy. And, you know, this, it's sort of the artist is dehumanized, you know, in a very, very grotesque way. So, yeah, I guess these, if you have a community which has also been, you know, sort of held back by the coronavirus, I guess right now, but, you know, just to talk to people, not even maybe about music, but, you know, this feeling of the collective, you know, to, I guess, that you're a part of something, that you're not alone in the, I guess you can say in the business, but in just, you know, living, I guess it's very important for a musician, because it's, I guess, you know, the troubling times and difficulties in life can be a big inspiration, of course, but the true, I think, I mean, you can tell me if you agree, but I think the most, I guess, the best art, or the most rewarding work you can do comes from overcoming difficulties, which often involves talking to other people and, you know, being in a community that is, you know, produces this healthy environment for you to work in.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm lucky that I have an output for that. But I do think, like, social media kind of just glamorizes everyone's experience, and it's just not accurate. I've come into understanding that life is suffering, and it's a big part of life. And that can be kind of a dark sentiment for some people, but really it just means like we live through this, and when we're not suffering, it's extra credit. And so like it helps me lean into the joy when it happens. But I also think about people that don't have a stage or a platform, you know, like mothers and doctors and I don't know, anyone that works a job and anyone that's here. It's like there's got to be these like really painful moments in life, and there's no guidebook for it. So I'm just trying to give people maybe a tool they could use if ever that moment happens for them, you know?
Yeah, sure, of course. Well, one more thing is I noticed that you have a specific relationship to when it comes to color, like the color orange, or it's a specific type of orange, I guess you could say, from the new album. Can you talk a bit more about how you view color, and I guess not even just specifically color, but the visual aspect of, you know, creating music, because it's, you know, inherently, you know, music is not always involve the you know, visual aspect, but when it comes to creating, it can be, I guess, a huge deal.
Sure. sure, yeah. I think just immersion in total environment is important in my art. And, you know, when I'm making something, there's like a whole world that unfurls in my brain, but I don't have the resources to make like a feature film or a Broadway musical. So in this way, color can really represent and immerse myself when I'm making it and help kind of tether a visual representation to the listener. And orange for me came into my life when a couple years ago when I was writing this record, and I was living on Robert Rauschenberg, who's this like famous abstract painter and artist, and I had the pleasure of living in his property down in Florida. It's a very strange time for me. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time at the beach during sunset, and there's this kind of, it's not a sad color. I guess it's like the small power that we were talking about right after the sunset. This is burnt orange. And it's kind of like when you close your eyes and you're facing the sun and you see the back of your eyelids. Mm-hmm. During that time, all the birds would be settling at night, and it was this sort of sweet melancholy. And that's when I would kind of have moments of clarity. So for me, this orange is tied to this album, EO. And I transformed my wardrobe, too, during that 3-4 year period where, you know, I was just wearing orange. And, like, something about this color that it almost vibrates an energy. And so for me, yeah, color, I think, will always be inextricably tied to all of my music from here on.
Yeah, and I think all the things you said, like, it's, you can hear it very clearly in your music, especially on the EO album, all the feelings you described. So would you say that when you're creating or writing pieces of music, is one of the main goals to is try to, you know, reproduce this certain type of feeling that you, I guess, maybe even can really rationalize or explore, and to try to, I guess, push it into a music creation?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all emotional based, for better or worse, and it's exactly like you said. It's experiences that have no words and are confounding. And because my voice is my main instrument, it's pretty one-to-one, you know, what I feel inside and what I'm trying to represent on the outside, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one other thing is, I think you mentioned in an interview before that you like working in this sort of, I guess the pandemic had something to do with it as well, but, you know, in this DIY context, when you're alone, you know, in your room, sort of, or it doesn't have to be a room, but just sort of not trying to overwhelm yourself with, you know, this, some big production practices or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is this true?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my time in solitude isn't all dark and scary. I really like being alone, and I don't need much to write music. You know, it takes a lot to record it and incorporate people, but I've been doing this for 15 years now, and it's very DIY, and I just want people to know that, because I think it can just, like you said, it can be overwhelming to have an idea and a musical thought and then seek it out without, you know, the financial backings or the instruments you want. But the laptop has really, like, opened the world for everyone. So, yeah, I mean, all you really need is a chair and, like, a little bit of blinders and focus, you know? You can really just focus on what's happening inside of you. I think beautiful art can emerge from that.
Yeah, of course, definitely. And even, you know, this album side, I mean, all your albums sound like that, but I think this album with the orchestral arrangements as well. It sounds very sophisticated. It's, I guess, if a musician or an upcoming artist hears it and, you know, knows that it comes essentially from your work in your home, you know, from your imagination, I think it could be also a very, you know, empowering moment.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really realize until a few years ago, but between me and you and everyone listening, the music industry is filled with a bunch of BS, like made up positions and things that you don't really need. You know, all you need is just like some gumption and focus, like I said. A lot of times talent, I think, overshadows intention. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone's born with like a beautiful intention. So if music's part of that for you, don't worry about the rest, you know?
Yeah. And I think it also goes the same as with, you know, everybody's born with a certain creativity. And, you know, just maybe a lot of people, I guess, held back because, you know, when you think about creating music, is always this notion or this thought that I'm not, you know, a good enough musician to create songs or to make music that is actually worth something. But at the end of the day, it's nowadays with the technology, but not even that. It's, you know, everybody has this creative impulse inside them. It's just about, you know, I guess, taking the time to really find it and then just find any sort of way you can to express it. Of course, it doesn't have to be music, but it's just, yeah, like you said, it's. I guess it's not really productive to think about creating as this this thing that you need, you know, capital, you need really good equipment, you need great instruments and very good technical skills. Of course, it can come in handy, but it's at the end of the day, it just comes down to you being you, I guess, yeah.
Exactly. It sounds like we'd be good friends if we knew each other. We're on the same page.
that's very great to hear. Talking about empowerment, as I mentioned before, you also mentioned that you really feel like you really feel empowered or like yourself when you come on stage. Is this true? I guess I should ask you.
Oh yeah, more now than ever. I mean, I've always felt that way, but especially these days, the stage is freedom. It's a place you can do whatever you want. And there's stages all over the world, you know? They're just like this square of wood, and like when you step on it, there's no expectation, and then there's no boundaries. For me, I have a very loud, big voice, and it's kind of like there's no metaphor there. I'm just like a woman just taking up space, and I don't feel like I can do that in a lot of my experiences here on Earth, but I can when I'm on stage.
Yeah, of course, especially,
and
I think...
Great.
Yeah, sorry. No, okay.
Oh, that's all.
I wanted to say, especially, you know, you being a woman in a actually very male-dominated industry and world, of course, I can see how performing on stage can be very liberating and empowering. But do you find yourself... sort of communicating with the audience, because you know a lot of people listen to your music, you play, you know, a lot of people, different ages, I can imagine, come to your shows. Is it like you're on stage, you're in your own world, or do you look at the audience, do you look at their expressions, do you try to communicate with them?
It's changed, you know, and it depends on how I'm feeling that day, but before the pandemic, I used to have my eyes closed and kind of my palms up and open, and it was really transportive in a me kind of way. Like I would just be in my own world. But now, you know, I'm asking for like a 50-meter cable, and I'm walking around in the audience, and I'm just really trying to use my body and like change the molecular energy in the room, and just show people, boundlessness. And it's really new for me. Like, I never used to do that till a few months ago, really. But I really like it, and I hope other people do too.
Yeah, of course. And other people will be able to hear you in San Cristóbal later this month. So this is, I guess, the last thing I wanted to ask you. When you come to Slovenia, you will be playing with the Slovenian String Sextet. Can you tell me how this collaboration happened?
Yeah, I mean, initially when the album came out, everyone on my team had this idea that I would only play with strings. It would be, you know, it's really beautiful, big orchestration, live presentation of the album. And we did that for a little while, but COVID and other factors, it's just really mentally stressful for me to do. So now it's a bit of a treat, and I'm really excited that I'm going to be doing this here at this special presentation. Whitney Johnson, who's been my bandmate for over a decade now, she's the co-director of the ensemble, and that's helpful. So, you know, like you said, everything's written to sheet music for this new album, so I just bring it with me, and together Whitney and I do a quick rehearsal with everyone, and the rest is kind of just based on trust. And we've done this about 20 times now this year, and they've all been really kind of splendid and beautiful. I mean, it's a huge sound, and I feel really lucky to have gotten to this point where I can financially, yeah, be able to have, like you said, a six-piece string ensemble.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting and very... I'm very looking forward to this concert, because it's, you know, I think it will be very interesting to hear. Oh yeah, but I guess this is also the question. You will be mainly presenting your your last album on this performance.
That's correct. I do have a few other songs from my past two albums, Reaching for Indigo and In Plain Speech, that we do as well. But predominantly, yeah, it's mostly songs from my newest album.
Okay, that's great. So this is about all the time we have, because on the show, when it will go on air, some of your music will be played as well, alongside the interview or after the interview finishes. So yeah, I guess thank you again so much for taking the time and talking to me. And coming on our radio show, and good luck with traveling, with playing, and I guess see you on the show here in Slovenia.
Wonderful, thank you. Have a good day, and see you soon.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Tokratni RŠ intervju z ameriško skladateljico in kantatorico Circuit de Dieu je pripravil Luka Hreščak.
RŠ intervju.